Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Albuquerque. Its continuing mission, to preserve history. To seek out past missions and learn from them. To humbly follow in the steps of those who came before. Science Officer's Log, Stardate 48315.4. The ship has gone into low planetary orbit around M113, while three unlikely friends gather in 505 aft to prepare for the next mission. Mwah! I think I got the perfect ratio of sodium to chloride.
Does taste pretty salty.
Is this terrestrial or synthesized salt?
I put the recipe in the replicator for the mission.
Mission? What mission?
Today's mission, Cadet. Did you not get the briefing?
The second contact?
Where would one find such a briefing?
It was from a pretty old mission. It may have even printed in a dot matrix printer.
There should be one installed on the wall in your quarters.
Oh, that's what that is. A lot of paper's been coming out of that. Don't worry, I've been using all the paper, though.
I guess we'll help.
Hello, I'm Carlos.
Hey, I'm Nick.
I'm Austin.
And this is the Away Team, or just Away Team, I suppose. It's a new one.
And it's a new one by FapCheck.
Yes.
And this is a new idea that Nick and Carlos had. And I wanted to be here to support it.
Yeah, so the thing was, Nick over here,
yeah,
are the only fan. I'm not even a fan. I don't listen to this podcast.
You're a bench warmer.
I'm a bench warmer. I just kind of partake in stuff. But Nicholas here you've never seen Star Trek, right?
I've never, like, consciously watched it. Like, it had been on TV a couple of times. I've randomly seen a couple of movies.
Okay, and I showed you a couple movies.
Right, and like, just the first overall, contact, like, yeah, zeitgeist of, like, memes of Star Trek have come around and stuff like that. Like, stuff I feel like probably a lot of people know, but as far as, like, the actual narrative of Star Trek and the lore and what builds upon it, I have, through essentially none of the seasons, have any kind of, like, grasp of that.
So if you were worried that the entire episode is going to be us doing, like, character, don't worry. We're just here, like the other shows, to talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, that was just that. I wanted to do something different, so I thought about we'd make, like, a little intro spoof.
Yeah, let us know what you think about that on the email. But I think we're going to keep going with it. I like the idea a lot.
I had a lot of fun writing it together with you guys.
Yeah. And we had a lot of fun tonight watching the first episode in honor of the 60th
anniversary. Yes, which
we were apparently, so excited.
We were really excited.
There was a teleporter malfunction.
We watched two first episodes.
So the anniversary on September 8th. 2026 of this year is for The Man Trap, which was the original episode with Kirk. And the pilot, there was a pilot, which I had seen a couple times before called The Cage. For some reason, they crossed, the wires crossed. And
it's
apparently
also the
that's
first one when
it's
you
pilot.
Pull it up on whatever streaming service we watched it on.
Yeah, and it's the pilot. It's not technically the first episode. There's a lot of things with this pilot that were not really part of Star Trek yet.
Different captain.
Different captain, first of all. I mean, he later becomes, of course, part of the lore.
All white people.
I did notice there was one non-white person. And it was
of
one
course
of
you would notice
engineering.
That.
Okay.
I was hoping to see
somebody. Oh, the Asian
somebody.
Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping to see somebody, you know.
So we watched about half of that episode, and we were like, you know what? we're not here for this. We're here for the salt episode.
The salt, that's what the whole spoof was about, the salt. The stupid joke about the salt. Yes, yeah, so, but we should talk about the pilot. It was part of the history. Very, very different, of course. Pike is not, like in Strange New Worlds or Star Trek 2009, they showed Pike as very heroic, which Pike he was not.
Is who Zap Brannigan is most based on in Futurama.
Yeah.
He's got the velour shirt. He's like, I'm not used to women on the bridge.
The Zap Brannigan is supposed to be 90% William Shatner and 10% Kirk.
Oh, okay.
That was the original conceit for Zap Brannigan.
Gotcha.
It's kind of true. You'll notice what it in the well, we'll talk about it in the second episode. But did Kirk seem like he did in the stereotypes that you've seen of Kirk before?
So the stereotypes that I'm used to for him, kind of, some of them kind of fit, like the whole, like, macho tough guy kind of thing.
Did it seem macho? I always saw it more as being, like, a stern leader.
Well, like, the scene that jumped out to me with Kirk was when he's
interrogating... Now we're talking about the original first series episode.
Yes. So not Pike, but Kirk.
Yeah, it was what stood out to me... That, like, aligned with what my perception of him was, like, when he was interrogating the scientist guy. He's like, I hate mysteries. It gives me a bellyache. Like, that thing seemed kind of over the top. But the,
a little bit, yeah.
But the kind of horn dog image I have of him, other than at one point McCoy saying that the creature was as bad as Jim, like, there wasn't really any of that.
I took it as, like, Kirk teasing him.
There was a lot of that, which I really like, the camaraderie almost.
Yeah, I didn't realize it started strong right away.
Me neither, because they all go down to the planet, and there's two people living on this planet. It's a Class M, which means life is supported. It's an archaeologist or something, and his wife. And they've moved into an ancient pyramid and just nailed shit up in there, guys.
There was a coat rack that was just nailed to this ancient, ancient pyramid.
Like, I get it. The structures are already there. But you know what? It's hers. She can do what she wants with it. This is her civilization. Her people. Yeah. It's not them going in
and... But it's just still really funny.
It is.
And her name was Nancy Crater.
So they all see the original three people that go down. Kirk, Bones, and... Darnell.
Oh my god, you remember that? They call him crewman at first.
They all see her differently. And this is really cool for the time because this would have taken a lot of different camera movements to line this up right. Editing.
The other important part is that the character of Nancy Crater was supposed to have been an old flame of McCoy's.
Yeah.
And so he...
He set up this mission.
Right. So he saw her... As he remembered when they first met, like, 10 years ago.
And can we just point out her name is Nancy Crater? It's a space show. It's like...
Look, we're on a space podcast.
This is like the Flintstones.
Technically, I mean, if... Because she married this archaeologist, right? That's why it's Nancy Crater.
Oh.
Because the 60s, she took his name.
Either way, I'm saying the last
Nancy name... Nancy McCoy.
Oh. I'm saying the last name Crater is really funny.
It is. It's really, really, really hilarious.
Look, I can't throw too much shade. Like, my given name is Nicholas Star, and we have a Star Trek.
That's why we chose you for this podcast. That's the reason you're here.
That is a high point of it. That's why originally I wanted to call it, like, Starcast or something.
Cadet Star.
Cadet Star. Yeah, this is Cadet Star. So, I like it in the beginning, because it starts off with really good character development almost right away. Kirk makes a joke to McCoy. He's like, you should bring her flowers. And he gives him, like, some weeds.
Some fucking weeds.
Yeah.
Some weed. And later, she calls him, like, an endearing nickname. Because this vampire can read your memories.
Yes.
And Kirk is right away just like, what about that schnookums? And is, like, reusing this nickname on Bones.
Okay, so this is what we both laughed at. All of us laughed at this. Wrigley's Pleasure Planet.
Oh, yeah. Because Darnell did not see...
Nancy.
Because McCoy saw Nancy from young, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Somehow Kirk saw Nancy older.
That's weird.
And then Darnell, the crewman, sees a prostitute from
Wrigley's Pleasure Planet.
Well, I need to know more about Wrigley's Pleasure Planet.
It sounds better than Ryza, which is the sort of like the sexy planet in the Next Generation.
Oh, it sure is, in real life and on film.
Is there a real Ryza?
Yes.
You get a Ryza out of me? Is that what it is?
Oh, it must have been.
I think so. Oh, sorry. I did write down my notes.
So again, not she called him Plum. It was Plum. But, again, admitting my ignorance, is Ryza supposed to be like Space Vegas or something?
They get sexier.
Space Sandals Resort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Space Negril Jamaica with hedonism?
Yes.
Okay.
Space hedonism is 100% right.
With the Vulcan and the Terran?
You guys have completely lost me.
See, these are real life sex places. And you know the space sex places. That's why I'm here, to bridge the gap.
Yes.
Fictional and real sex places.
Because we would not be talking about this if it was just me and Nick. I would just be like, yeah, did you like, what did you think?
The colors were very pretty. They were. I'm just saying.
They were really pretty.
They found neon in space in the 60s.
It has definitely influenced my interior design.
Yeah, this room kind of just looks like an old, like the inside of that pyramid.
I've nailed up a coat rack over there.
You're about to suck me for salt, if you know what I mean.
Immediately.
Anyways.
Oh. She can't keep these grubby little octopus hands in her pockets. She's killing people right away, even though they're delivering salt to her.
Yeah, they're giving her salt.
She'd be fine. But she's like, no, I like the taste of it out of you guys better.
She's like, salty humans.
She kills, like, two crewmen, takes the place of one. That's another power she has.
The first one she kills is Darnell, and she does this one the best of all of them.
Yeah.
Because she's like,
Let
me jam this plant into his mouth.
Oh, and Kirk just reaches for it.
Oh, yeah, he has... This was before forensic science was created.
Always check the mouth first, guys. Kirk jumps up the rock he's laying on and just reaches down.
That's part of stereotype, Kirk. Always check the mouth.
Always check the mouth. And it's just so funny. It reminded me of like Silent Hill, where he's always like putting his hands in toilets and stuff and holes.
Or Resident Evil, where there's so much hand trauma these days. All reaches
just reach into his mouth and pull out this plant.
And it's related to the tomato. It's a space nightshade.
A space nightshade.
And they said it would create an alkaloid poisoning, and she's like, I saw him eat it, and he died right away. Like, this is a toxic-ass plant, if that's what it does. Like, you take a bite, and you drop. And that's why we have you here, Cadet, for these training episodes.
That's right.
So you can learn, one, not to follow sexy ladies when they tell you to go behind the rocks with them.
That's right, Cadet Star. That's why we do these briefings. That's why you should read your briefings.
We have lost
you don't
so
die.
Many cadets to booby traps over the years.
It's second contact. That should be less lethal.
Look, there's only been two examples I've seen so far where that's not worked out.
Yeah, and we're on the first mission.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there was a question on my mind when we were watching this first part. So, how do you feel about the characters, Kirk and McCoy? Just in being introduced like this, because it seemed like watching it now, they were introduced forcefully right away.
We're in it.
Right.
We're in it.
The pilot, so like, them. The best kind of example I have is in the pilot, they were very clear of, this is the doctor who's making a martini for Pike.
That was weird.
This is the Captain Pike. He doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
This is Spock, who is just a dude. Is how they
he was a dude
it.
In the
he
original.
He didn't have a lot of personality in that first episode.
That was a big change.
And then in the true first episode, as I will refer to it now.
Yeah.
They just assumed he knew all of it. It was like, here's Captain Kirk and Dr. McCoy. McCoy used to bang this chick. And then they're giving each other a hard time. I was like, oh, okay, this feels like a natural relationship.
That's what I noticed at first. And I was like, oh my God, they did it right away. But I don't know if that was influenced by... Because I've seen the original Star Trek, though I was kind of more raised in the Voyager, Deep Space Nine kind of era of Star Trek. And then later I watched Next Generation.
Okay, because I started in Next Gen.
Yeah. And
I can remember, little view, I can remember it being the 90s in my den, and my uncle and like aunt and cousins were all over, and my parents, oh, that whole generation above me, was talking about, there's a new Star Trek premiering this week. It's been... 30 years.
And thank God for that first episode of Next Gen, right?
Oh my God, that turned a lot of people off.
Do you guys know, because this would have been like primetime network television.
Oh yeah.
Was this like a CBS or NBC? I'm guessing CBS?
It was NBC.
It was NBC original?
Oh my God. No, it was CBS. I'm so dumb.
That's
because I know the property is with Paramount now, which is CBS.
With Voyager, went to UPN.
Ooh,
it did, yes. And then, but it was CBS, yeah.
Oh,
I think it was.
Well, there were only like three channels back then, anyway. But we'll do more research as the show goes on into the history of the show and the making of it. I assume.
Yeah,
but there's a lot. There's like out of all TV, this is one of the best chronicled shows because it's full of nerds.
Now, so you did feel right away they started off with the characters you haven't really...
Right, and even somebody that I think they still are trying to present as pretty, like, rigid and plastic, like Spock, they introduced his character. That's illogical with Uhura very
well. Yeah, they did that Uhura scene. I was just going to talk about that, where Uhura comes up and, like, puts her hand on his arm and is just like, I am so fucking tired of work.
Nah,
and he's like, that's illogical because your shift is not over. And she's like, God damn, Spock, I'm just trying to flirt.
she was like being sassy with him like, yeah, a little bit.
I loved
that. That was a good introduction.
For a black woman on TV in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Also, pretty hilarious. Medical is called the dispensary.
Dispensary to Kirk. Your ounce is ready.
Yeah, we can't even make that joke.
I didn't even fucking realize that dispensary was medical specifically. I thought
it was medical.
Eighth place where like you ended up after you poured it in or something.
No, that was where McCoy's office is, and they're just like, the dispensary is ready for you.
This episode has the food cubes.
The food cubes, of course. The little background food cubes.
I don't know if we ever see those again, but they're really cute.
It looks like he's just eating a bunch of Starburst for dinner.
Melted Starburst.
The one character that didn't seem to like be introduced in any like concrete way for me was Sulu.
Yeah,
he was just a dude and with plants.
Yeah,
and he's like, okay, thanks for my dinner. That's weird.
He was just like in the botany section of the ship,
which was designed really well. It was very
the little hand plant was really cute.
Dr. Seussy in there.
Yeah, it was Beauregard the plant.
Yeah, it was
which does come back later, by the way.
Oh, okay.
The Muppet plant.
The little Muppet plant. But yeah, Sulu was a little underdeveloped in the first episode.
But, I mean, for a first episode that had to introduce the main characters as well as give a reason for the bad D of the episode, like the bad guy, bad creature, whatever, like, I can understand that. Somebody that I know, like, I've heard of Sulu before. I know he's a main character, but, like, it's understandable that you can't do the entire cast in one go in a fluid way for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chekhov doesn't come till second season, something like
when
that.
When you get to next gen, it'll take a whole, like, once you get to fourth season, they'll start giving each character, like, their own episode, and it becomes really good.
That was Roddenberry, though.
We're in the Roddenberry days, and we'll be here for a long time, There's a lot of, well, let's just say this. He was in World War II, and he served in a U-boat. So he had a lot of experience in basically a spaceship.
Yeah. So Star Trek is...
his idealistic version.
Well, it's based on submarine battles.
Yes.
Oh. Everything they do, and like it's based on submarine battles and all that stuff, the terminology.
So as of now, though, we haven't really seen like ship fight or anything.
Oh,
like
we that. Will.
But remember when I showed you Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan?
Yeah.
And they were like just like floating over each other, and they were like, shoot at these coordinates now. That's like the torpedo, shoot the torpedo. You know?
Right, and that's why they're saying torpedoes, which I don't think torpedoes make sense.
They do have plasma torpedoes.
Photon torpedoes.
I
don't know if they're established. I don't know when photon torpedoes get established, but yeah, this is... Mm-hmm.
It was also his idealistic version of like a multicultural utopian socialist society, which we'll get to.
That brings us to probably the only scene where we all insisted on reversing it.
Right? Oh, yeah?
Yes, oh my god, this is so
hilarious.
The one that
tied it into our USS Albuquerque in a perfect way.
The 60s super racist moment. That's like, I mean, it's 60s racist, so it's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like so funny, it almost seems like a joke a conservative would say. So
the dust off of
that her, our communications officer, she says, Corinth 5 is communicating with us. The Space Commander Dominguez requests a needed supply. And what did he want? Chili peppers.
Tell Jose we can get him his red chilies by next week.
Like the Mexican reds I picked by hand.
Yeah. What? And Uhura just laughs at it like, tee hee hee.
That was like, I had nothing to do with the episode. Was just inserted.
They're just shipping red chilies across the galaxy.
Felt like a For Us thing. Like,
yeah.
That was so you're like, what?
That made the episode. I'll put that quote in the episode so
yes,
you guys can hear it.
It was almost like targeted marketing. If that was possible.
Like, oh my god. Space Commander Jose Dominguez wants his chili peppers. He really needs them. They call it Mexican something, right? They
it's Mexican red chili peppers,
they,
I think.
They call it, yeah. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. They'll get his, oh, that Jose Dominguez, Space Commander.
I really hope his name is Jose and he wasn't just being racist. Spacist.
I should have made my science officer Carlos Dominguez.
Where are my chilies?
Damn it, chilies! But I completely forgot about that.
I'm a cook, not a doctor.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh yeah, that was perfect. This was a great episode to start on. Like you said, it's like jumping in, like Cadet Star over here. There's a lot of already established relationships, it seems, on the ship.
Yeah, because the pilot was rough.
It was horrible.
And I'm a Trekkie. And that was that was a bit rough.
Yeah, yeah. It was more like the Buck Rogers sci-fi of the 50s.
Yeah. We'll talk about it at the end, but yeah, it was a little rough.
So they discover that the salt vampire has gone and made it aboard their ship.
The teleporters don't have bioscanners yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So this was very much like the same premise of the movie The Thing.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, have you seen that movie,
Carlos? No.
Oh, it is so good. We'll watch it.
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
So, it's about wood making, right?
Kurt Russell. He's
just making wood.
Things. He's like, I did it. I made the perfect thing.
It's like a little Jesus.
It never shows it though. No, yeah.
No, and then some guy's like, oh, I dropped this thing in this thing with the teeth in this person.
And inside this thing is your favorite.
That's what I've seen.
They all really like salt.
Yeah,
they all super love salt.
So there, and it's straight up killing people on board.
Yeah, he was space happy though. Remember that
space? Oh, yeah. Cadet Green or whatever when he came back from the. When the monster was in his guise and came back.
I think that was Nurse Chapel. No, she becomes Nurse Chapel later, I think.
I believe she does.
Yeah,
I think that's the basket woven hair that defies gravity.
Just right now, she's a yeoman.
Yeoman?
Did they give her a name?
Yeah, she's a personal yeoman to
Sulu, I guess.
I guess? She
brings him the dinner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women bringing the food to the to the people in the 60s. Yep.
It's the future, though.
But space cubes. I was about to say they're jello, but I think they're solid looking.
They're probably like, what was that horrible game from Bethesda? The space one? Starfield? Yeah, all the food in that was cubes.
Oh.
And then somebody in real life, like 5 years ago, tried to make cube food and sell it. And it was just super packed, condensed, like chicken protein in a cube that was fried.
Just
and
bouillon.
Like a vegetable one.
Just bouillon cubes.
It was horrible. Because I'm always interested in space food when it comes out. I'm not going to eat it.
Well, like space ice cream, dehydrated ice cream.
Sure, that's fine. I'll eat that. That's a gimmick.
But I would not want like turkey dinner.
Or like Soylent. Like, I'm not trying that shit. But you can, you know what that is? It's like the tech bro milkshakes that you
had a couple apparently years. They didn't know about the Soylent, the movie.
Somebody did.
Somebody, they say they didn't, but yeah,
somebody
I'm
did.
I'm sure what that was like, we need a name for this.
Uh-huh.
Like, how about Soylent? There's soy in it. No, yeah. That's a great idea. Oh, shit.
Exactly. And Soylent Green was the only one that had people in it. The other Soylents were made with different things in the movie. There's like Soylent Brown, Soylent Purple, Soylent Red. But I like to pay attention to those because they're very sci-fi. I don't like to eat them, but the cubed food really reminded me of when that happened in real life a couple of years ago. And it was one of those things like influencer food where people were getting them and they were already moldy inside the packaging.
Of course. Well, you know, tech bros like to not pretend they want to do the Star Trek thing, but they're like, they don't want the non-money part or the helping others.
Yeah,
part.
Or the healthcare for everyone.
Or they think they know a lot, but they don't.
Yeah.
I think the space cubes just became the buttons for the
grand multiculturalism. Oh, you think the space food became the
buttons? Because later there's more green buttons and stuff. I put them in the panels. And Gene Roddenberry, put him in the panels.
We put 10% of our budget on these cubes. We need to use them.
You just see Uhura pick a button out and eat it. lime.
I'm just trying to remember if I saw someone actually chewing them.
He did, the captain.
He did?
Yeah, he took a bite, and it was green. But you could see inside it was white. It was like something surrounded by green.
Was it? Okay, I don't remember seeing any like marks on it.
It really made me want to try it. I'm just saying.
Well, it looked like Jell-O. Jell-O's delicious, right?
But this was like broccoli nutrients.
Broccoli, yeah.
Like mashed potato insides.
Mm. Uhura gets tempted by the space vampire, which we haven't said can mimic people.
It can also glamour you.
Glamour. Oh, yeah. It did like the whoosh, like an actual vampire thing where it freezes you.
Yeah. Because otherwise you'd just run away from its gross octopus fingers.
Exactly. It was also able to use its mind powers to learn Swahili to speak to Uhura.
It can read your mind.
Right.
Yeah. Which is pretty terrifying. It makes its way through this crew really quick and kills a handful of people just in the hallway, guys. It didn't even have to take them into a room. It's just like, drop.
I don't believe, unless I missed it, that it's established that Uhura is like the communications person.
They never said it in this. I think Spock kind of said it when she's like being sassy with him at the beginning.
Right.
So, he said, I don't think anyone in communications would be nervous about...
She's a linguistics specialist.
So xenolinguistics? Speaking of the Swahili, was that supposed to be taken as like from her job side or because she happened to be black?
She was from Africa in the
That
lore.
Is her background story, still to this day, in Star Trek lore.
Okay.
Whether that was racist intentionally by Roddenberry, that's another question.
But there is a lore explanation as to why a language from Africa was being spoken.
Even in Star Trek Brave New World, she speaks Swahili, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has continued in lore. That is her home.
So race. I guess there was an explanation to it beyond, hey, she's black.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when this was shown, I don't know.
Well, it's because she's from Earth, but Roddenberry didn't just say everyone's from Chicago or Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They're from everywhere on Earth. It's unified into...
Chekhov, your favorite character is from Russia.
And that was a huge thing during this point, because we were in the Cold War. And to put a character on the show, which isn't in the show yet, we'll get to it, but to put a character from Russia on the show... was amazing.
There's some good jokes about it in Star Trek 4. We'll get to that.
Well, I know there's a lot of significant cultural groundbreaking in this show, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's famous for the first interracial kiss on TV. So, like, that's something that I know just...
Oh, wait till we get to that episode, because it's deeper than that. But even this one, having Uhura in a prime position of power, and Sulu be, like, a
being science sassy
officer.
To,
yeah, and sassy to her commanding officer. Like, I don't know, sassy might be like a cultural thing.
I mean,
itself,
she was not like submissive or she was being.
Yes.
She's toying with him.
She holds her own power.
Yeah.
There. Right. And even Sulu was in a position of importance.
Yeah.
Right. He wasn't like the captain, but when they were off ship, he was running
I think he was running like security for.
Sulu is a fantastic character once we get to him. The episode where they all get. Drunk, basically. Holy cow.
The naked time. Oh. I think it's the naked time.
Sulu's running around shirtless with a fencing saber, just fighting with people, and he's in his prime. Like, ooh.
That's probably like next episode, right?
It's first season for
if
sure.
If I remember, the next episode's kind of rough. It's Charlie X, I think, is the next
It'll
episode.
It'll be fun to get through.
Yeah, it'll be fun to get through.
Oh, well, you do have to boldly go.
But this episode is a good start, I think. Salt Vampire.
I love the meeting where it has Mr. Crater and Bones is sitting right next to him and Crater has his like hand on Bones' knee because he knows it's the vampire and Kirk cannot tell. And Bones is like just side-eyeing Crater like, don't fucking tell him, don't fucking tell him. And he's like, so this vampire, it killed your wife and then you started fucking it? And the doctor's like, what are you going to do? It's the last of its species.
My wife died 2 years ago, and it's the last of its species.
And they're like, yeah, but it killed your wife. And he's like, yeah, but you guys don't get it. It can turn into anything. And I don't just mean anybody. I mean anything. And you see Kirk's eyes light up just a little bit. And he's like, so it can be your lover, your teacher, your mother, your... slave, and he's like listing all these things, and the doctor's like, yes.
and I'm a doctor.
He's just like, oh, so you've made your own little pleasure planet there, have you? And he's like, it deserves to live. And Bones is like, yeah, I think it deserves to live too.
That part, though, was I was dying when it was We put out the salt to trap the vampire. And then you could just leave the salt out and not have it be a trap.
You know? Yeah, you could just give it to the vampire, like, anonymously, like a drop box. That could be cool, because...
We'll all close our eyes and we'll just count to 10.
Yeah, does anybody have any salt we could put on the table right now? I'm just asking. You know, it'd be really cool if you did. I don't get why they have all the salt tablets in the world and it's still sucking people dry. Like, this concentrated salt tablet that he's like, I love when he's like tempting it like a cat too, like
he's shaking it.
Here, salty, salty.
Do we know for sure if they kill the salt vampire? Because in the in new Star Trek,
yeah,
and I'm talking about not you anymore, but like the Deep Space Nine one,
okay.
They would have probably found a way to put it back on its planet and, like, keep it alive with food and maybe a replicator.
You'll find that in original series, the morals are more black and white because Roddenberry was in one of the war. Like, I think it's... And a lot of the writers were also, like, really wartime people. They were like, we have to act right now because this is the shit. And, like, later in Next Gen and stuff, they'd be, like, more scientific about it. So, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. They were a little more scientific.
Within the episode, it
did kill, like, 5 people.
Yeah, they shot with the phaser. They didn't mention whether they were on stun or...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You couldn't tell the difference from the sound?
It just got shot and dropped.
There was a good line where it was just like, it tried to eat Spock. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I'm from a different ocean than you.
Yeah, my people
evolved. My salts are different.
Yeah. Just like,
different salts, bro.
Different salts. It's made out of sodium chlorgon. Argon. Sodium argon. Which is the noble gas that would not have the sodium.
So many other ones you could have chose.
So many, yeah. Chlorgon. All right, so, you know, usually people talk about how Star Trek gets things right. You know, you get your monitors, your little Zooms where you can talk to people.
Okay.
But what about the things that gets wrong?
Oh.
You know, there was one thing you mentioned.
Did you notice some things?
Oh, I did.
What'd you notice?
Well, besides the later where they'll say World War III takes place in 1980-something.
Well, we just weren't told about it. It did.
Later.
Over there.
Over there. They said the Buffalo are gone.
They didn't say which world.
From the Buffalo?
World War III.
No, it was Earth.
Oh, okay.
They do say, you haven't seen Star Trek.
They didn't say which Earth.
They said which Earth.
Which timeline are we in?
That's not what I want to talk about.
Oh, that was
we're talking about the Buffalo.
The 60s,
what about the Buffalo?
It was like, yeah, the Buffalo are going to be gone, so we'll just say this.
Yeah, they're like, they're definitely going to die. Because remember, he was like,
yeah.
Salt vampire is the last of its species. Well, on Earth, it was like the Buffalo, and then they mentioned a bunch of animals, too.
Yeah.
The only other one was the passenger pigeon.
The passenger pigeon?
Which I don't know what that is, but
they let them die. They were used like during the World War I.
Used it a lot before mail service.
Yeah,
because
I know about homing pigeons, but as passenger pigeons,
those are pigeons that are trained. They home into people and stab into them.
We have done so dirty to pigeons in our past. When we got to America, we wiped out like billions of pigeons that used to like the flocks of birds and stuff. But then passenger pigeons. We trained to deliver letters, we domesticated, we fed, we housed, and then we were like, ah, fuck off. And now we're like, they're the rats of the cities.
Yeah, but they're so cute, they have little rainbow necks.
I'm just saying, we put them there. Like,
and they go, coo.
People are pissed that they're in cities, and we trained them.
I know, it's just like, there are...
Like, we changed their entire evolution over the course...
We took them from the cliffs, which is why they make bad nests.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the pilot, how about that?
The pilot?
Yeah.
The redhead that was sitting in the seat and controlling the ship?
The pilot episode.
Oh!
Which he kind of mentioned a little bit with Christopher Pike.
Yeah.
Which was very different than the way he was shown in Strange New Worlds.
Oh, yeah. Completely revamped his character.
Or Star Trek 2009. Yeah, it was like he's very heroic in those. And this one, he did not want to be doing the job. He wanted to be somewhere else.
And his hair is like 3 inches too short.
It is 3 inches too short, and the doctor's just giving him whiskey.
The doctor comes in, and it's like a scene from MASH. He's like, yeah, but people tell their bartenders things they don't tell their doctors.
Which is a good line.
He opens up his apothecary bag and just pours him a shot and gives it to him.
It was like medicine at first.
Martini and then he like drops ice in it. He's like, is that ice? Like, no one likes a hot martini and just fucking gives it to
Which was a pretty fun scene, but not Star Trek the way I know it.
I mean, there was a lot of things in the pilot that, of course, were not too... They mentioned the speed of light.
Good of special effects, though, in the pilot. We have the weird, veiny brainhead people, and...
I call them Squidwards.
Yes.
Because there was a scene where they showed the monitor they were looking through, and it looked like the televisions in SpongeBob.
That was also good. The matte painting of the television inside the show. Like, really good special effects for the time.
They also mentioned meteorite beams.
When
Meteorites were coming, and I was like, it's just a deflector shield later.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The first officer was a lady. It was a woman.
Right.
Even though all the other women in this pilot were treated really badly.
He's like, you're one of the good ones.
Yeah, to the first
officer. You're not allowed on the bridge.
Who is the first officer in Stranger Worlds?
And she even looks like her.
Yes, they look a lot alike.
Pike,
really only the eyes.
Really? Oh, you're right, yeah.
And the tricorder was like resin.
It was like you could have made it out of an old phone.
Yeah, it was resin with, like, chips inside of it.
Their guns were different, and their gun showed up. Dr. Crater had that gun in the first episode.
Yeah,
question.
Yeah.
I know the little, like, insignia on the chests, like, had been in, I don't know which Star Trek was, like, what the communicator was.
Mm-hmm.
Is the tricorder little, like, phone-looking thing, is that their communicator?
That is the communicator in this one, yes.
Okay.
Later, so it evolves. This is just decorative. Yeah.
That comes later where it's the whole everything, just to make it simpler.
Except a medical scanner.
So, yeah, they have the tricorder, and then they have the communicator, and then they have the phaser.
Tricorder reads your surroundings.
Okay.
And is like a scanner. And then the phaser can be set to, like, stun or kill.
Yeah.
Or 1.4.
Or 1.4, as they called it there, yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, that Christopher Pike wanted to work at Orion.
Yeah.
And then they even mentioned it in that episode, that's where they have slaves and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Big part of Lower Decks.
He was just an asshole in this episode.
You want to be a green slave lady trader or something?
Yeah.
You think that's a good retirement?
And he doesn't even go, like, no.
So, Nick, this is a big commitment. You've signed up to be on the ship. What do you think of your first episode?
I definitely liked it. I assume that as the episodes go on, it's going to develop more into why my preconceptions are my preconceptions. I don't think it's going to be as strong as, like, what it actually is, right?
There's a lot of, like, things that get filtered, so a lot of their catchphrases and behaviors are not as strong as they are portrayed later.
Right. The thing is, when this came out, we were a bit more of a monoculture. There were three television channels. Everyone saw this.
They had to.
The entire three seasons that it was on. This would be what you talked about at school the next Monday, like, when you went back. Because... before this, it was Swiss Family Robinson in space, or whatever that show is, like Lost in Space. Yeah, there was nothing this good and seriously well made. As, like, schlocky and cartoonish as this is, it is, I think, well made in a scientific sense. They did a lot of research. It's not perfect, obviously, but it's like, it reminds me of our generation's Game of Thrones in a big way.
In the third season?
Oof. The Red Wedding episode?
No,
between Kirk and the... No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying...
Third season, oh my god.
Because when we were growing up, you had fantasy, but it was like Hercules. It was Xena. It was these, like, really campy things. And then Lord of the Rings came around and was like, oh, you can put good money into fantasy and it'll pay off. And then we got Game of Thrones. And it was like, oh my god, this is like a serious TV show about hardcore dark fantasy. And I feel like they must have felt the same way about Star Trek. Like, nerds in the 60s.
I mean, Lucille Ball was a fan.
I mean, to have something that well written, that long form, and continue every single, like, episode, continue the story, must have been mind-blowing.
Yeah, and it was also written by sci-fi writers, which the current Star Trek's not really...
Well, question for you guys.
I don't want to get to that right now, but some are good, some of the current stuff.
Some TV shows, each episode is contained unto itself.
Right.
And some it's a narrative through and through where there's a start point, end point through the season.
Mm-hmm.
The vibe I get from this is it's something that, like, builds upon itself, but, like, if you happen to, like, miss a couple episodes, you're not, like, missing the story. Is that
accurate? I'd say it's pretty contained. each episode. Yeah, like, there's some character like stuff.
The lore builds upon itself and it keeps consistent, but
in that way, I'd compare it a lot to the X-Files because there are Monster of the Week episodes, but the story definitely progresses through it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. The special effects are something I'm really looking forward to watching this more. There's one episode in particular I caught late night in the early 2000s.
It was also the remastered version.
It was on TV at like midnight, and you know, just perfect, perfect stoner TV for the early 2000s. Because Kirk and Spock are in like an alien tunnel and they're running around, and then they cut to a real black cat running through tiny tunnels, and it's supposed to be a full size like panther chasing them, and it's just a house cat.
Is that the one you were thinking? I was thinking of the dog with the horn.
No, that was the other one I was thinking. Okay. There's so many good pet episodes.
Because well, we were thinking also... for our sketches, we'll have a laser dog.
That's ooh, bark, bark.
But, I mean, it could be the fact that it's remastered, but there's a very clear difference, too, of the sets that they knew that they were going to be able to reuse, like, the ship.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the outdoor scenes. Even the pyramid interior looked a lot better than the exterior kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it looked, even today, like, I thought it looked dope.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the outside, it was clearly, like, oh, there's some foam that's supposed to be rocks kind of thing. Like,
you got to remember when people were watching this, it was on like an 8-inch black and white TV probably too. A lot of the people who were first watching this.
Right.
The plastic rocks were a big thing on the planet. Yeah.
But it was not to the detriment of it, but it was just, it showcased to me how much more they were able to invest like in the ship. Because they knew they were going to be using that ship all the time.
And it looks sci-fi. It reads as sci-fi because it's like pink and greens and purples and like...
And those materials were harder to get back then.
Oh, yeah.
Much harder to get. It's like there's an episode of Doctor Who where the reptiles had like bubble wrap as skin that's just painted green.
Very similar to Doctor Who if we're going across the pond to like British TV.
But Doctor Who more fantasy, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Nick, are you more of a fan of fantasy or sci-fi?
Yeah, tell us, Nick.
It's hard for me to not fence it on it. I would say I've probably consumed more sci-fi content than fantasy content.
Okay.
But also, probably in the last 10 years, I've started to gravitate more towards fantasy.
Gotcha.
It's just, that's still happening in real life.
Escapism.
Yeah, sci-fi is starting to feel more fantastic than fantasy at this point.
Gotcha.
Like, a grand unified Earth, like, I don't...
No, so there are... Well, this will brighten your day. It only happens after the meth nuclear wars.
Oh, we're almost there.
The methane wars?
That first episode of Next Gen, where they talk about that, and they're like, yeah, you became a peaceful socialist society, but it was after World War III. So... still might happen.
We just got to get through the shit.
You got to get through the shit. And then there's no credits. There's just replicators. I don't know if they have replicators here.
I actually don't remember. Because that would help a lot.
Replicate more of those cubes for me. Earl Grey flavor.
And have the ladies deliver it.
So if you want to listen to more of this, let us know. We're at fapcheck@gmail.com. That's fapcheck@gmail.com. Hit us up there for our other podcasts too. But this is a brand new show. Show us some support. Maybe we'll post it across all channels so you can get a taste of it. Anything else you guys want to say before we get back to our quarters and rest up for the next mission?
All right, Cadet Star. Now that you've heard our mission debrief, that's why if you see your old girlfriend, it's not your old girlfriend, okay?
I mean,
this is a second contact mission.
All right, we're going to have to load up his pockets full of salt tablets that he can throw at these things.
Yeah, I guess we should play it safe. No, we can just replicate this stuff.
Oh, you're right, yeah. We can just replicate him.
I can't believe I forgot him salt.
How many times are we going to have to replicate him? Oh.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, check out our other shows, Amazeballs, where pretty much this crew plus Justin and Josh check out TV shows. This could be Amazeballs, but this is going to be deeper than that, I feel like.
With check our out, sketch and stuff, I think it's a little...
Check out Have You Seen, our big flagship show where all of us talk about different movies. The caveat is one person on the show has to have not seen it and give a rundown of what they think it's going to be about before we watch it. Check out What About Wrestling, where Nick, our only fan, and Justin talk about different wrestling pay-per-view events.
New episode tomorrow.
There's like three episodes, and it's our most listened to podcast. Yeah, so why don't you go check it out? Yeah. Until next time, I'm Austin.
I'm Carlos.
I'm Nick.
Beam me out. Beam me out.